Thank you for the invitation to speak in Letterkenny, not far from Convoy, or indeed Stranorder, that I'd probably more closely identify now. And I did study in Letterkenny way back years and years ago, studied law for a short time, decided I didn't like it, but I'm very glad to be back in my native county, and I can even see my native county of Donegal at times from a certain spots in the Mavaddy. Just look across the little stretch of water and you can see the beauty of Donegal, but I'm always glad to come back as well. Well, I want to speak about angels. I want to deal with four topics concerning the angels tonight. First of all, I want to look at the popularity of angels. Very, very popular subject. So I want to mention that first. Then I want to look secondly at the reasons for this popularity. Why is there so much interest in angels? Then thirdly, I want to look at what Christianity says about angels, and especially the Bible, of course. And then fourthly, then how should you and I respond to all this interest in angels that we see around us? So the first point is the popularity of angels. I have here an advert. It happens to be a local one, but it's a bit old and tattered and battered. I'm sure there's been a more recent one. You may have seen these adverts from time to time up in your local shop or shopping centre. Holistic and psychic health fair. This one happened to be held here in Letterkenny in the Clanree Hotel way, way back in 2009. And you can see there's an admission charge, not free, €5. And angels are prominent in it. There are several references to angels here. There's a reference to an angel store. I wonder what that means. Well, I don't think you can buy an angel, but maybe angel ornaments and the like, representations of angels. There's other things too to do with angels in this, and angel card readings, where there are these angel cards and people supposedly can read them and predict the future, etc. So you'll see lots of adverts like this around. They're still on the go today, and this one was in Letterkenny. More than that, a very popular book. Many of you may have heard of this if you're interested at all in angels. Anyone heard of this book? Angels in My Hair. Have you heard of that book, anyone? Yes? Yes, you see, I thought you would have. This was a bestseller in Ireland a few years ago, because I lived in Galway until about just over a year ago, and it was all in the shops. I'm sure it's in the shops in the north as well. Haven't seen it, but I'm sure it has been in there, because it was a bestseller. It was at number one in the bestseller lists in Ireland for a time, which shows you how much interest that there is in angels. Written by a Dublin woman named Mary Byrne. She says, Angels in My Hair is the autobiography of a modern-day mystic, an Irish woman with powers of the saints of old. And it tells her story and her encounters with angels. Maybe read just a page or two to show you what she's talking about. Page 51 and 52, I think that explains the title of the book. An unusual title, isn't it? Angels in My Hair. I wonder what that means. Well, she explains to us in the book about these angels in her hair. Pages 51 and 52. One sunny day, I was walking up the lane to Granny's from the empty house and smiling to myself. I felt enormous strength and confidence because I knew that someone very special was close by. My angels told me not to continue up the lane, but to go through the fields instead. I climbed a gate, and as I was walking through the long grass toward the woods, he ruffled my hair. He has an extraordinary presence, too powerful to manifest in physical form. Can't be seen, in other words. Instead, when he's present, it feels like a powerful force swirling around me. He has a habit of ruffling my hair, which makes it feel all tingly. I feel so special and so good when he is near me. So that's why she gave the title to this book, Angels in My Hair, Lorna Byrne claims that she's had this kind of encounter with many angels, and especially with this one, and that he makes his presence known to her by ruffling her hair, hence the title. But a lot of people have read this book. She's very good at storytelling. I think that's maybe one of the reasons why it has sold so well. she's a very good, she spins a good yarn, as we'd say. She's very good at storytelling, so people find the book very easy to read. Lorna Byrne, Angels in My Hair. And there are many other books you could pick up about angels. Here's another one, Francesca Brown. Anyone heard of this one? Called My Whispering Angels. My Whispering Angels. Interesting title. It was reviewed in the Belfast Telegraph, which described it in this way. The inspiring story of an Irish woman touched by angels. The book apparently describes how angels help her, supposedly to contact the dead, and even to write what she calls heavenly poetry. And I don't know what heavenly poetry is, but anyway, that she claims it's coming from heaven. And she claims that these angels are helping her to do this. A survey was done some years ago in America. They love doing surveys in America, don't they? And this is an American survey, 1993, so it's a little while ago, but the findings are probably still relevant, still the same today, I would say, if not more so. How many people, what percentage of people believed in angels in the United States of America who were surveyed? 69%. That's quite a high percentage. You get 69% to believe in angels, believe in anything. 69%, that's high. 56% believed that they had their own personal guardian angel, a special angel, just for them to guard them and protect them. And 32%, almost a third, said that at some stage in their lives, they had felt an angelic presence. One third almost said at some occasion, they felt that there were angels communicating with them or nearby them, or around them. One of the people mainly responsible for this upsurge in the interest in angels is a lady called Doreen Virtue. Have you heard her name? Doreen Virtue, American. She's authored at least 20 books on angels. That's a lot of books to write about angels. Some of their titles are The Miracles of the Archangel Michael, Solomon's Angels, and Angel Therapy. And one day I called into the Strabane Library. It's not a very big library. If you've been in the Strabane Library, I don't know. It's not a very big library. But they had three of her books there. I asked specifically, as I wanted to know, how popular are these books? Are people reading them? They must be. Well, if they, unless they're just sitting on the shelves. But I think, in fact, one of them was missing. Somebody seemed to have stolen it, or it was mislaid. But three of her books were in the Strabane Library because there was such an interest in the topic. People wanted to borrow them. And sometimes you pass particular kinds of bookshops, you can even see displays of her books and DVDs in the window. I remember before I left Galway, one of the main bookshops around New Year time had a big display. Books about angels, DVDs about angels, angel cards, all to do with this lady, Doreen Virtue. There have been some also programs on TV about angels. I don't know if you've seen any of them. Some time back, anyway, the man who starred in Little House on the Prairie, is it Michael Landon? Correct me if I'm wrong. Is that right? Michael Landon's his name, yes. He, and some of you may have seen this, he apparently starred in a program about angel. He was an angel in disguise who came to help people who were in trouble. And it was a very popular television series years ago. So that's the first thing I want to say this evening. Clearly, there's a lot of interest in angels. A very popular topic. Second thing I want to deal with is, well, why? Why should there be such an interest in our day and generation in angels? Why should so many people buy these books, go to these therapies, spend money, quite a bit of money sometimes, on this subject? I want to give three main reasons from studying the topic. I think there are three main reasons why angels are so popular and have such an appeal. And maybe some of you this evening here can relate to these reasons. Maybe these are some of the reasons why you are interested in them. The first main reason is this. People are still seeking spiritual meaning in their lives. As Mark rightly said earlier, there is a lot of disinterest maybe in established churches for one reason or another, but they're still in the human heart. They're still in the human heart a longing for something greater and bigger than oneself, a spiritual reality. There's still that hunger deep within the human psyche. And angels are part of the, if you like, the answer to this. People try to have some kind of spiritual experience by having an encounter with an angel. This is clearly the case in a big way for Lorna Byrne, but for many other people as well. And so, to some extent, it ties in with what's called the New Age movement, a kind of spiritual movement where people are looking for mystical and strange experiences to give them meaning and purpose. So the one good thing we can say about in this regard is at least such people acknowledge the reality of an unseen world, that there is such a thing as angels. They believe that. And that is good as far as it goes. That's a good thing. In an age where people have tended to be only believe in material things, things you can touch, it is good that there are people who realize, no, there's a richer, deeper dimension to human life. There's a spiritual reality that we need to get, that needs to be found. So that's part of the reason. It's people who are looking for some spiritual meaning in their lives. But a second reason, and this is a very real one, and I know there may be somebody here this evening at least who this is real for them, as a source of comfort and guidance, as a source of comfort and guidance for lonely, hurting, and sorrowing men and women. We live in a world where there are many losses and hurts and hardships. Somebody said, people seek comfort from these heavenly helpers in a troubled and chaotic world. They need some help, need some guidance, they need some comfort. And angels can be a way of looking for such comfort amidst loss or hurt or disappointment or bewilderment. The most famous example of this, perhaps, in our land, in our island, is Gloria Honeyford. Name means something to you. Gloria Honeyford will be well known in the part of the island I live at the moment because she's very big on the TV, but I'm sure you've seen her on probably ITV, I think she's mainly on. But Gloria Honeyford had a tragic experience, a heartbreaking experience in her life. She lost her daughter with cancer at a very young age, a very early age. And Gloria Honeyford, out of her sorrow, began to look for signs that her daughter was communicating with her, or indeed that the angels were communicating with her. And she wrote a book about it. And one of the signs that she claims that identifies angelic communication are feathers, especially white feathers. In other words, if you find a white feather dropping in front of your pathway, maybe onto your car, on your doorstep, this could be a sign that the angels are communicating to you. For Gloria Honeyford, it was a sign that her daughter was trying to communicate, maybe via angels, with her. But we have to ask the question, of course, is there any good reason for believing that angels should hint at their presence by white feathers? Why should that be? Is there any proof that angels have feathers? As such, real feathers, or white feathers for that matter? There's no real objective proof for that, although one can understand why people like to think, a white feather, there's an angel here to communicate with me. That's two reasons. The first reason was looking for spiritual meaning. The second reason, looking understandably for comfort and guidance. Thirdly, but I want to alert you to this, because this is something I think one needs to be aware of. It is a money-making industry. It's a money-making industry for some people. Now, of course, people make money out of all kinds of things, but there are some people who know here's a way to make good money. There's lots of people looking for information about angels, guidance from angels, so here I can make money. Now, not everyone is motivated by this, but certainly some are. And you often find adverts in newspapers encouraging you to spend money in relation to angels. This one is from a Galway newspaper some time back, but you could find it in any local newspaper. And it's advertising, among other things, angel cards. 10% discount available for weddings, groups and hen parties. Book early and vouchers available. So there you get 10% discount on the angels. They're very generous. I think the lady or the man who's involved in this, they're out to make money and maybe indeed take advantage of people who would be vulnerable. Because there are lots of ways you can pay in relation to the angels. If you have an interest in angels, there's lots of ways people get money out of you. Some will come along and say, I can help you contact the angels. They will claim this, pay me some money, and I will, what's called channeling, I will open up a channel for you of communication with an angel who will help you. But some money, please. Others will say, I will teach you meditation techniques, how to meditate in such a way that you may make some kind of contact with the angelic presences out there. Others will say crystals. Angels somehow are attracted to crystals. And I will show you how to use crystals to get in contact with the angels. And here's an unusual one. This is a very, very unusual one. There are some even who say that I can tell you the right color of clothing to wear in order to attract the very best of angels. That certain angels are attracted to certain colors. So you need to wear, if you've got a certain problem, then you need to wear this type of clothing. But again, they'll charge you for that guidance. So that is the third reason. It's a money-making industry. Beware of that. There are people out there, and their main interest is to use angels to fill their pockets. So those are the three reasons, I think, three main reasons. There may be others as well. But I want to look at, thirdly, at, well, what does Christianity teach about angels? Because, as you know, Christianity has a lot to say about angels. And I just want to spell it out briefly. Well, for a start, from the very beginning of the Bible to the very end, you can read about angels. It's certainly an important theme in the Bible. At the very beginning of the Bible, the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, very early on, chapter 3 indeed, only the third chapter, and verse 24. Listen to this. This is what God did, we're told, at the Garden of Eden. He placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim. These are angels. They were there to guard the way to the tree of life. So very early on in the Bible there, in the book of Genesis, angels are mentioned. And the very last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, or the Apocalypse of St. John. Listen to what it says. Chapter 5, 11, and there are other references as well. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. Well, that's a big number, isn't it? 10,000 times 10,000. I think it actually means they were beyond counting. There were so many of them. John, who was inspired to write the book of Revelation, was given this special vision of heaven. And he saw all of these angels. So you see at the very beginning of the Bible, and also at the very end of the Bible, angels are mentioned. What about Jesus? The great teacher of Christianity, the one who stands at the heart of Christianity. Did he mention angels at all? He did. Here's one example. Matthew 18 and verse 10. It says this. See that you do not look down on one of these little ones, one of the children. But for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. So he's saying there are angels in heaven and they see the face of God the Father. So there's plenty in the Bible about angels. And what does the Christian book, the Bible, teach us about angels? Well, here are five things, five truths. And these are truths because they come from God's word, from the Bible. So these are things you can know to be true about angels. There's a lot of else out there that you have to take with a pinch of salt, to put it mildly. But here are five definite facts or truths about angels that come from God himself. First thing, they are created beings. They are created. That's important because that means that they're not in any way as great or powerful as God, or as great as powerful as Jesus, the Son of God. They are created by God. That's what the Bible tells us, to do his bidding, to carry out the will of God. Just one verse here that says this. Colossians, the book of Colossians, Paul wrote, first chapter, verse 16. For by him, that's by God or by the Lord, were all things created by the Lord Jesus, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or authorities or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. You see, one of the problems with Lorna Byrne's book is, there are a number of problems, one of the problems is, though she does mention God, God is mentioned in the book from time to time, God is not at the center. God is not at the center of this book. The angels are far more important than God. And that's a problem I think we have to be aware of. People who are looking for spiritual answers and spiritual reality and spiritual fulfillment, they've got it wrong if they place the angels in a more important position than God. God has created the angels. And that must be remembered. So that's the first fact that's clear from the Bible, from Christian teaching. The angels are created beings called to do God's will. Secondly, and this is related, angels are seen to carry out God's plans, as I've sort of said, and at very special times. Now, I suppose one of the things people think today is, you know, you should expect to see an angel around every corner. Wouldn't that be, maybe some people think that, you know, they're taught to believe that even, you know, that angels are sort of everyday experiences. But when you look at the Bible, though they are mentioned quite a lot, usually it's with some special, for some special reason, to do something very special for God. Either to bring special blessing, special messages, they're messengers from God, or indeed, and this is not often mentioned today, to bring judgment. Let me give you a few examples. First of all, special messages. When God had a very special message to deliver, he did send angels. What is the greatest message? The greatest piece of good news that this world has ever heard. The birth of Jesus Christ to be the Savior of men and women. And who announced it? Angels. The angel came to Mary, and there were angels present at the time of the Lord's birth, saying, peace on earth, goodwill to men. So there you see it, a very special occasion, a very important message. God sent angels to deliver this good news. But on the other hand, we have to recognize this. God also sent angels to bring judgment on those who were against him, who dishonored him. An example of this in the book of Acts in the Bible, Acts 12, 21 to 23. Herod, you know of King Herod, not a nice man, a very wicked man. And Herod was taking great glory to himself. And this is what we read. Immediately, because Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down. He died and was eaten by worms. An angel of the Lord struck him down. Now, it's not often mentioned today that angels might bring judgment, but that is a fact from the Bible. So that's the second thing. They were sent to bring special messages to carry out God's will. Thirdly, they were sent to deliver and protect at times God's people. There's a psalm, a great song of praise, Psalm 91. This is how it reads, verses 11 and 12. It says, "For God will command his angels concerning you to guide you in all his ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Here's a protective role that's given to the angels. They're protecting, they're watching over, they're seeing that the servant of God will not strike his foot against a stone. But the thing is, they were often invisible in this protective role. They couldn't be seen. There's a great example in the book of 2 Kings in the Bible, story of Elisha, the prophet, great prophet of God, and he's a servant with them, and they're surrounded by an enemy army, a huge army, the Arameans they were called, surrounding them, and the servant's getting really frightened and really afraid. He's saying, look, Elisha, look at all that army coming against us. What's going to happen to us? And Elisha said, "Do you not see?" And the servant couldn't see, but Elisha was given special power to see. Chariots, fire, the angels, a greater army of angels there protect God's servant at that time of danger. So it is true, the Bible teaches that at special occasions, special times, the angels are there to protect the servants of God. Number four, and this is something I think that's not mentioned much in many of these books. You won't find this in many of these books, but I think perhaps very often it's mentioned in the Bible. Angels are active in praising God. That's one of their main jobs and one of their main tasks. They're not there to do a trivial little, jobs for people all the time. They're there to worship God. Listen again to the book of Revelation. A special insight given to John. "Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, 10,000 times 10,000. What were they doing? They encircled the throne, it's the throne of God, and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang." They're singing a song, the angels. And what's their song all about? "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Who's the Lamb? The Lamb is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. He's the Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world. And here are the angels. What are they doing? They're worshiping God. They're worshiping the Lord Jesus. And angels are portrayed in the Bible as having their highest joy and their highest fulfillment in worshiping and praising God. For God has created them and they worship Him. So that's something that you mightn't hear mentioned a lot in the popular books, but it's something that's very true about angels. And fifthly, one final thing that's mentioned in the Bible about angels: many angels will accompany the Lord Jesus when he returns in glory to this world of ours. That's not something even it's mentioned much nowadays, that the Lord Jesus has promised to return. He's going to come as judge, and he's going to come to fully save his people. Listen to what the New Testament tells us in the book of Thessalonians. Who's going to come with him? "God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed to heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels." Notice how they're described. His powerful angels. He's the King. He's the Lord. He's the Great One. But the angels are there to accompany him. So those are five things that Christianity teaches about the angels. Things we can know to be true, that we can rely upon, because they are from God. The angels are created. Secondly, they carry out God's plans. They bring special messages. Thirdly, they protect God's people at times. Fourthly, they praise God. They love to do that. And lastly, they will come again with the Lord Jesus when he returns. In closing then, how should you and I respond then to all the current books and interest in angels. How should we respond? How should we react? I want to say just three things. Here are three responses I would ask you to consider carefully and to make. Amidst all the interest in angels, if you have an interest in angels, I would say three things to you this evening that I hope will help you. So I want to be of help. I'm not here just to say, oh, this book is rubbish, because, well, I think a lot of it is actually rubbish, but I don't want to just tear this book up and say it's rubbish. I want to try and give you something that's helpful. And here are three things I would say. First of all, you need to be aware, beware of a great danger. You need to be aware and beware of a great, great danger in this. For some people, they've only just a passing interest in angels. But others get deeply involved. And one thing that Lorna Byrne portrays in her book is that most of the time, angels are just always good. Of course, there are good angels. But I think there's only one place where she mentions just the possibility that there could be an evil angel, a destructive angel. But the Bible warns us, and God warns us, that there are very dark and destructive spiritual beings about who want to harm us, to deceive us. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14, listen to what it says. Satan himself, that's the devil, masquerades as an angel of light. He puts on a disguise. So what you may think is something exciting, something for your good, something for your welfare, even something that you think might comfort you, could actually be intended to lead you astray, to harm you, to hurt you, to destroy you. You see, this interest in angels can sometimes lead some people into the occult. They get so fascinated by it that they delve deeper. Things like this here have sometimes an occultic element to them, these psychic fairs. And some people begin to dabble in very, very dark things. Before they know it, they're under the power of dark powers, and their lives can be ruined and destroyed by them. So beware, there is a danger in this interest in angels. You need to be aware of it. Secondly, however, be also aware that angels can be a great distraction. A great distraction. What do I mean by that? Well, we should certainly be glad that there are such beings as angels. We should be glad. I think it's one should be glad. One shouldn't be dismissive of them. One shouldn't be disinterested in them as such. But if your spiritual interest is only in the angels, they're distracting you from someone far greater and far more helpful and far more wonderful. In fact, an interest in angels could actually distract you from a commitment to God, who is our true helper and our true comforter and our true Savior. Somebody said of this interest in angels, it's all fluff and meringue, kind, unjudgmental, and they are available to everyone like aspirin. That's why they're so popular, because there's no challenge in it. It's all just very positive. And of course, there are many positive truths about angels. But the Bible never encourages us to pray to angels. You won't find any example, whereas we are and we can pray to God. The Bible never encourages us to seek an encounter with angels. If you read the Bible, the angels take the initiative. God sends them. People don't seek them. And the Bible certainly says we should never worship angels. In the book of Revelation, there's a warning to the servant of God, do not worship me. The servant of God is going to fall down. Because if you really had an encounter with an angel, it wouldn't be necessarily a comfortable experience. They are supernatural beings. And in the Bible, when people encountered angels, they were overwhelmed. They were knocked to the ground. They were very fearful. If an angel actually appeared to you, it would be overwhelming. And sometimes then people were tempted to worship them. The Bible shows we should never worship an angel. They are created beings. They are not divine. God is much, much greater than any angel. He is eternal, not created. He is almighty. They are not. And he is all-knowing. He knows everything about all of us. And angels are not all-knowing. So please, if you have an interest in angels, well, that can be a good thing, but don't stop there. Don't stop there. Get to know the one who has created the angels, Almighty God himself. And finally, the third response we need to make, beware of ultimate disaster. Beware of ultimate disaster. Lorna Byrne, in her book, I say it's a very readable book. I want to read the last sentence, because I think it really highlights something. Well, maybe the last couple of sentences. The last sentence is very important in this book. Listen to what she says. Just read the last five sentences. I cherish the feather, she's talking about a feather that came to her, that came to me through the gates of heaven, guided by angels. It was a gift to help me feel better, to make me feel safe, to remind me that there is a reason to live, that there is hope in all circumstances. It also reminded me that we all have souls and they are perfect, no matter what we've done, that our bodies might die, but our souls don't, and that we all have wings of some kind or another, even if we fail to recognize them in ourselves or others. The last sentence, we are all, in fact, angels. We are all, in fact, angels. Now, is that true? Is that actually true? It's a very pleasant thing to say, isn't it? I mean, we'd all like to think that of ourselves. We sometimes say it to children, look at the little angel. We'd like to think of it ourselves, that we're such perfect beings that we could be called angels. Maybe sometimes even used as a term of endearment by men. Ye angel. But is it true? This is is it true? Is the question. Is it true that we're angels? Is it true that we're perfect beings? Have you ever lied? I think we've all lied. We're not perfect beings. We're sinners. We've fallen short of what God expects. Ever been angry? Destructively angry and hurt someone, upset someone by your anger? Yes, we have. We're not angels. Ever cheated? Been dishonest? We have to admit there are times we've all done that. We're not angels. We're sinners. And that fact means that at the end of the day, angels cannot supply our greatest need, which is to be forgiven. You and I need forgiveness. You and I need that guilt that comes from our sin taken away from us and being made pure, forgiven by God. No angel can pay the price for our sin and for our failings. But God's word, the Bible tells us, Jesus can do that. He is the Savior. He died on the cross, paid the ultimate price of his life out of great love, so that all who trust and believe in him will be forgiven and have that complete sense of freedom from guilt. Have the comfort and the peace that comes from knowing that you're in a relationship with the living God himself. That's far more exciting, far better, far more wonderful, and far more necessary than any encounter with angels. So I would say to you this evening, no angel can save you. No angel can meet your greatest need. And I would say instead, yes, you can take an interest in angels. Yes, you can learn a lot about them from the Bible. Yes, we should be glad that there are such beings as angels who are there to protect, to bring special messages at special times from God. But at the end of the day, don't fix your minds or your eyes on angels. Look to Jesus, who is the true helper, the true comforter, the true guide, and the true Savior of lost and hurting and needy men and women like you and like me. Well, thank you for your attention. I hope I've covered many areas of your interest, and I'm glad to try and now answer any questions you may have this evening. Can't say I don't claim to be the world expert, but I have read quite a few of these types of books, and of course I've read the Bible a lot, and I will try and help you if you have some puzzle or question this evening, either practical or spiritual or anything arising out of what I've said. Do feel free. I won't pounce on you. And if you don't feel like asking it publicly, of course, you can ask me privately later on.